December 3rd, 2020 afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Good afternoon, Keelan. Could you please call the roll?
Good afternoon, Mayor. Hugh Daly.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Ryan.
Here.
Hardesty.
Here.
Wheeler.
I am also here. Under Portland City Code and state law, the City Council is holding this meeting electronically. All members of the Council are attending remotely by video and teleconference, and the City has made several avenues available for the public to listen to the audio broadcast of this meeting. The meeting is available to the public on the City's YouTube channel, eGovPDX, www.portlandoregon.gov/video, and Channel 30. The public can also provide written testimony to Council at any point by emailing the council clerk at cctestimony@portlandoregon.gov. The council is taking these steps as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the need to limit in-person contact and to promote social distancing. The pandemic is an emergency that threatens the public health, safety, and welfare, which requires us to meet remotely by electronic communications. Again, as always, thank you for your patience, your flexibility, and your understanding as we manage through these unprecedented challenges. And with that, we'll hear from legal counsel on the rules of order and decorum.
Good afternoon. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or the first readings of ordinances. The published council agenda is at portlandoregon.gov/auditor, and it contains information about how and when you may sign up for testimony while the City Council is holding electronic meetings. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary, and please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When your time is up, the presiding officer will ask you to conclude. Disruptive conduct such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being placed on hold or ejected for the remainder of the electronic meeting. Please be aware that all City Council meetings are recorded.
Thanks, Naomi. First up today is item number 942.
Appoint a charter commission to review and recommend amendments to the charter.
Colleagues, this is a very exciting day. I want to thank all of my colleagues for co-sponsoring this resolution. This is an important milestone, of course, in our charter review process. The charter review process is exciting because the city charter is the document that ascribes our authorities, the powers, the roles and responsibilities of the mayor, the city council, and others. And as such, this is really a document that allows the people of the city to determine how the people of the city want to be governed. There is a 20-member charter review commission that is selected periodically to help see this process through. And today, the City Council is going to appoint 20 members to this Charter Review Commission. As I mentioned, the City Charter is actually what's called a grant of authority. It's granted by the people of Portland to the City of Portland, and it is really the most critical document that reflects who we want to be as a city and how we want to conduct our governance. The periodic charter review process is a really unprecedented opportunity to engage Portlanders on how our government works and to offer amendments that reflects our community's evolving needs. Julia Meyer, the project manager for the charter review process from the Office of Management and Finance, is here to introduce our soon to be appointed, I hope, charter commissioners. Thank you, Julia, the Strategic Projects and Opportunities team at OMF, and Ashley Jaden from the Office of Community and Civic Life for your leadership in this appointment process. And with that, Julia, why don't you lead us through the process? Welcome.
Thank you, Mayor. Good afternoon, everyone. I am so thrilled to be here today with the Charter Commission nominees. And good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioners Fritz, Ryan, Hardesty, and Hugh Daly. Like the mayor said, I'm Julia Meyer, and I'm honored to be the project manager for Charter Review. This is my first time before City Council as a city employee. I started with the city 2.5 months ago, and I just want folks to know that I really feel a deep sense of responsibility to our community to bring the integrity to the charter review process that our city deserves. As the mayor stated, today is an important step in the charter review process, the appointment of our charter commissioners. And while I'm the one kind of leading us off, I do want to thank my coworkers at the Office of Management and Finance, council staff, the City Attorney's Office, the Office of Community and Civic Life, and the Office of Equity and Human Rights, all of whom have contributed to this work. So we're going to spend the bulk of our allotted time today hearing directly from the nominees. But before we do that, I'm just going to speak for a few minutes about the recruitment and selection process and then talk briefly about next steps. So as a reminder for folks, the timeline for seating a charter commission is directed by the charter itself. And so the charter requires that the commission be seated by December 15th of this year. We received almost 300 applications for the Charter Commission. It's more than any other city advisory body process that folks can remember. I want to thank the mayor and commissioners who helped outreach to their networks, as well as numerous community-based organizations who helped amplify our recruitment process. City Council really early on agreed to utilize a one-city approach to selection. And we centered 5 criteria, and I'm just gonna kind of read through them. So 1, having skills, knowledge, and lived experience that will help the Charter Commission fulfill its work, including experience working in community, diverse groups, or public bodies, and experience working with and on issues impacting BIPOC Portlanders and people with disabilities. 2, a commitment to and experience with advancing equity. 3, demonstrated ability to support community engagement efforts of the Charter Commission. 4, comfort with and willingness to work on a highly visible advisory body that we expect to draw significant media attention and community advocacy. And 5, ability to commit the time. So in addition to those criteria, selection did consider the composition of the Charter Commission as a whole. City Council deliberately chose to make sure the vibrancy of our whole community was represented, including those who have historically been left out of City Hall. So we were in the fortunate, albeit challenging position of having a large qualified applicant pool. It was a difficult task to get to the 20 nominees you have before you today, and there were more qualified applicants than we had spots on the commission. I really want to thank everyone who took the time to apply. And I know that for folks who weren't selected, it's disappointing. But I do want to remind folks that serving as a member of the Charter Commission is not the only way to be involved in the charter review process. The commission will engage the community in a conversation about the charter. And I know that City Council is committed to ensuring that the community is engaged and that broad public input can be gathered to inform any proposed charter amendments. So while today is an important milestone, it's definitely just the beginning of the work. And once seated, this Charter Commission is a fully independent body authorized to review and recommend charter amendments to the public. So I know it's going to be challenging, but really I couldn't be more proud to embark on this project with the 20 folks you're about to meet. You know, moving forward, the next few months is going to focus on onboarding the charter commissioners, you know, adopting the rules of procedure for the group, coming up with their work plan and the public engagement strategy. So, you know, finally, I wish I could introduce you in person to these folks, but instead I've asked all of the nominees to introduce themselves in a minute and a half or less, and maybe talk about why they want to serve. And we are really fortunate to have all but one of our nominees here today, So we'll just kind of go through the list, and then at the end, I can introduce you to the person who was unable to join us. So before we go through the nominees, I just want to pause for a moment and see if there are any kind of questions or comments before you hear from folks.
Not seeing any.
Great. Just going to remind our nominees to please try to pay attention to your time. There's a packed city council agenda. I might poke you if you start to go over. And we will begin with Andrew Spear. Andrew.
Good afternoon. I wanted to say, first of all, thank you to Commissioner Ryan and his staffer, Gwen, who provided the nomination and interview process. It was a really engaging process, and I'm thankful for the nomination from his office. I describe myself as not fitting into a box. I am adopted, grew up in a white family, in Sandy predominantly, always been an East Sider, and proud to be always engaged and thinking about the needs for the East Side community. And as I look and think about the why of why I am wanting to serve on this commission, I think for me it's about representation and about being able to walk the walk. I think the narrative in our society and community is a lot about action around social justice issues. And I think when I look back and I reflect on the form of government that we have, it's very disparate. And through that disparate form of leadership, there's an allowance for a lack of accountability and a lack of the people's voices who are underserved to be heard. And I think that is an important aspect of my viewpoint. I live in a part of Portland that I think a lot of Portlanders don't even realize is still Portland. And I see our voices really being one of just a revenue source for the city and not really receiving the services and infrastructure developments that we desire or require as citizens of Portland. So representation for Outer East Portland is really important to me, but also just being able to walk the walk when we think about how to better represent and provide services and engagement for traditionally underserved communities. Again, thank you for the time and for the nomination. I am deeply honored and excited to serve and be a part of this process. That concludes my remarks, and I'll turn it over to Angie Morrill. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Hi, I am Angie Morrill. I'm very happy to be a part of this charter commission. I was born and raised here. My family moved here from Chiloquin, Oregon in World War II, and it's been a real pleasure for me to come back and serve the Native community that I grew up in as the director of the Indian Education Program for Portland Public Schools. And on this commission, I hope to amplify Native voices and Native concerns. So thank you very much.
I
don't remember who's next.
I think I'm next. Hello, good afternoon. My name's Anthony Castañeda. And first and foremost, I'm thrilled to be joining this table of incredible Portlanders. I know I've seen a few names before, seen a few folks before, so I'm really excited to be working with you. And I first moved to Portland about a decade ago to begin my undergraduate studies at Portland State University. Between then, I had lived in the Midwest and abroad for a little bit, and then came back to the city that I know I love and care about so much. And so currently I serve as, or I work as the policy manager at Latino Network that serves youth and families here in the Portland metro area. My desire to join the commission or to apply for a position was motivated by the idea to act locally. We know many of the decisions that we make at the local level affect our day-to-day lives. And my hope is that we can get to a form of government that reflects the true diversity of the city especially those, you know, those communities that have been marginalized and underserved for so many years. And again, I look forward to working with everyone, and I believe Becca is next.
Yes, thank you, Anthony. Good afternoon, I'm Becca Uerblau. I use she, her pronouns. I have lived and worked and been engaged in civic life in the city of Portland for 25 years. And it is such an honor and a deep privilege to be able to be given this opportunity to serve in this way along what an amazing group of folks. I just wanna share a reflection. Throughout this process, I was checking out the city's website and I was reading the thoughtful and descriptive write-up about what the charter is, its function, its purpose. And I found it fascinating that the word power in different forms is in there as often as the word city. And so it got me thinking about what our role collectively as a commission is. And I believe fundamentally that it's our role to design a community engagement process that with integrity, that is completely accessible, transparent, and meaningful to all Portlanders, especially those folks, Portland's Black community, other communities of color, low-income folks, the houseless, outer East Portlanders, the disabled community, folks who and communities who either by default or design have not had access to power. And so I couldn't actually think of a better time for all of us, both the commission and all Portlanders, to come together and literally look at every brick in the foundation of Portland's systems of power. So I'm very excited and honored to be a part of this and really excited to dive into the work. And I think I'm passing the baton to Brian.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Brian Lewis, and I'm honored to be here today. I applied to the Charter Commission because I believe in democracy and I believe in the city and its people. I consider it a detriment that we no longer talk about this nation nor this republic as the founders and framers did, that this nation, that this republic we have, that we've been bestowed, is a revolutionary experiment in the heights of what rule by the people can be. This struggle is now ours to shoulder. We are here because rule by the people is a simple and elegant thing that did more than echo through the ages. And that is because it is not a particular model or process. It is the best of every generation and what they are willing to fight for. It is often said that the states are laboratories of our democracy, and that can be true, but it is at the local level where the spirit and the fight often lives most boldly. I'm humbled by this body and its esteemed members to be privileged to play some small role in the empowering and emboldening of the people and helping to push us forward. Thank you. And I believe it's Candace that goes next.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Candace Avalos. My pronouns are she, her. And I'm an educator at PSU, a community advocate, and a first-generation Black Tina living in Northeast Portland. I have put my heart and soul into transforming our city for the better over the last few years, beginning when I joined the Citizen Review Committee in 2017. And that work really opened my eyes to the many challenges that we face, leading me to become a vociferous advocate for making our city work better for the people. It even led me to run for city council this year with a platform that centered on updating our archaic system of government to reflect the 21st century. I'm honored to be selected to serve on the Charter Review Commission during a critical opportunity to address the most pressing problems facing our communities by truly transforming how our government works. And I'm committed to ensuring that we lead an inclusive, transparent process that brings all Portlanders to the table to envision a charter that best serves our unique needs as a city. I promise to give it my all, and I'm looking forward to collaborating with fellow Portlanders to get the job done. Thank you again, and I'm turning it over to Dave.
Hello, my name's Dave Gallet. I was born and raised in Portland. I'm very excited to have the opportunity to be on this commission. I think it's so awesome that Portland reviews their constitution every 10 years or so and allows the community to have the input to create a report that goes to council. And council can make their approvals or not, but the commission ultimately can send it back to the people. I think that's awesome, and I'm really excited to do this work. My focus will be bringing and raising voices of people with disabilities and marginalized community members. I specifically want this to be an inclusive process. I am so grateful for all of the other commissioners that are going to be participating, and they'll bring their own uniqueness. I'm excited to also reach out to the public so that they can participate in this process. And I'm really looking forward to having a awesome recommendation to council when we're done. And I hope we work well together. I'm excited to work with all the council members and the mayor. And yeah, I think next is Debbie.
Hi, I'm Debbie Kitchen. My husband and I own Interworks General Contractors. We're a small business that has been operating in Portland for 26 years. I'm very excited to be on this commission as well. I feel that we have a fabulous group here, and I'm looking forward to getting to know everyone and work together on this very important issue. To me, the key issue is equitable representation for all members of our community and all parts of the city. I think that's something that's been lacking. And also, as the primary provider of services, that we all rely on, our city needs to have a governmental structure that facilitates effective delivery of services for everyone. So I'm really excited to be part of this and look forward to working with everyone on the commission. Oh, and I'll turn it over to Deborah.
Thanks. excuse me. My name is Deborah Porta, and I use she, her pronouns. I'm currently serving as executive director of Pride Northwest. I originally moved to Portland from Dallas, Texas in 1997 and never looked back. I am excited to be here and honored to be part of this process. In my experience, when such a diverse in so many different kinds of ways, talented, skilled group of people come together, really amazing things happen. And it's not always easy getting there, and it's not always a fun ride, but what tends to come out on the other side is so much better than where we started. And I really look forward to this process, and I look forward to what we can do to help further our city in the direction that we'd like to go. And with that, I will pass it to Hannah.
Hello, everyone. My name is Hannah Osman, and my pronouns are she and her. I want to thank my family, my friends, my community, and my cats for their consistent support. I also want to thank Ted Wheeler and his office for nominating me. I am coming into this work as a community member that loves public health and wants to provide an opportunity to engage with the African immigrant and refugee community in Portland, particularly with the Somali community. My motivation in serving on this commission stems from wanting to learn the ways to develop policy and how policy changes within our charter that equitably serve the people of our city. Being community oriented, my values rest upon lifting my community through organizing, engagement, and advocacy. I also want to serve because I believe the government should fully represent the racially diverse communities in our city. If you want a racially inequitable city that is accepting of all people, I am looking forward to working with my peers on this commission and the communities in our city. I will now turn it to Carol Collymore. Thank you.
Mayor Wheeler, commissioners, my name is Carol Collymore. I use she, her pronouns. I find it hard to follow cats and so many other amazing, smart things that my colleagues have said. It's all beautifully said. I feel like I don't need to repeat it. It is such a joy to be with such a lovely group of folks. I have lived in Portland since 2003 and have tried to help my city and my state in as many ways as I can, including running for office like a lunatic. And it has been the honor of my life to try to do what I can to make Portland a better place. I'm excited to do it at the right place and at the right time with all of you wonderful folks. I want to live in a community that supports everyone, that treats everyone as best as they can. And I think none of us should stop until that is an actual reality. And so honored to do my part on the Charter Commission to strengthen the place that I love. And with that, I will hand it to Melanie.
Hello, thank you, Carol. I am Melanie Billings-Yun. I'm a native of Portland. I grew up in the Woodstock neighborhood like Dave. I'm a graduate of Cleveland High School. And I got my bachelor's degree from PSU where I've taught for the past 14 years. I'm also a proud resident of a multicultural world. Having lived and worked for three decades in societies that were Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, Confucian, and Hindu, my own family reflects this rich diversity. My husband is from Korea. Our daughter-in-law came to Oregon as a refugee from the killing fields of Cambodia. And we have two beautifully multiracial grandchildren born here in Portland. My career has been as an international negotiator, professor, and consultant, helping people, organizations, and civil society bridge cultural differences, resolve conflict, achieve fairness, and build mutually beneficial relationships. I am so excited to help craft a city charter that fairly represents and listens to all of Portland residents, not just the most dominant voices. I know it won't be an easy job. We've been through a painful time that has highlighted great divisions and inequities between our citizens. But we have to remind ourselves that positive change never emerges from comfort with the status quo. This is a wonderful opportunity to make Portland truly a city that works. I look forward to being part of this important endeavor. And with that, I will hand the dais over to Rahi.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and City Commissioners. My name is Rahi Reddy, and I use she, her pronouns. I am so honored to accept this invitation to serve on the Charter Review Commission for the next 2 years. Thank you so much for the opportunity to serve. I'm actually joined here by my family. I guess working from home can let you do this now. But really, the commitment to serve is also shared by them. Lots of hours away from home and in meetings. But, you know, part of the drive to make this city inclusive and wonderful is really driven by family and love. We are in such a time of suffering for so many Portlanders, Black families, Indigenous, Latinx families, my Asian and Pacific Islander families, frontline service workers and their families, and all those who've lost their jobs, housing, and those displaced. Our city is struggling. And this crisis reveals all of our city's disparities. And it's exactly why I think this is the right time to review our charter. And I'm excited to dive in. My expertise is really in understanding how achieving equity requires changing the rules that undergird. Our city's charter sets so many of those rules about governance and management of our resources, investments, public safety, and Portlanders' voice. It's foundational and it can work to free us to do better for our communities. I look forward to working with my fellow commissioners, with you, and our fellow Portlanders to understand these rules and apply a fresh equity lens on this charter. I also encourage you as commissioners to continue supporting this effort by committing to resourcing much needed community engagement with our frontline communities so we can bring all of Portland on this journey with us. Ultimately, the choice is yours and the choice is theirs. And we hope that as a city, we can come out of this effort with a shared vision for justice for the next decade. Thank you so much. And now I hand it over to my friend, Salome.
Hello, City Council. It was just 6 weeks ago that I was in front of you testifying on some of the works that you have already undertook. I come to you now as someone appointed to the Charter Review Commission, And like I promised you 6 weeks ago, I am someone who does not sit and wait for my community to be saved, nor myself. I am someone that steps forward and finds ways to do the things that I would want to do and the things that I think will protect those around me. Right now, dealing with COVID and dealing with the systemic racism that I've seen and witnessed here in my own hometown of Portland, I could no longer be silent and found an avenue through the Charter Review to hopefully enact things that I think will better our entire communities. Thank you for your time. And I'm going to pass it off to Scott.
Sorry, thank you very much. My name is Scott Fogarty. I use he, him pronouns. I've been living in Portland for about 27 years now. I have an environmental background that I bring to the table, where having worked for Friends of Trees as executive director for the last 15 years, and now working to help solve the houseless problem that we have here in Portland. My interest in being on let me thank the mayor and city council for convening this, and to Julia for her hard work at choosing my 19 other colleagues to help look at the city charter and look at how our form of government is working or not working for the good people of Portland, how we are or are not representative to the community, and if and how it needs to be altered and changed to represent the community at large, and how we are getting things done at the ground level. I want to acknowledge everybody and thank you for this honor of being chosen to be on this commission. And I hope to be able to bring some knowledge and understanding of policies and politics from my years of working with city council, with state government and federal government. And also for my children and my family, because the decisions that we're making today, we probably won't live long enough to see their effects. Hopefully we do, I might not, but really for me, it's for my children and my family. And so with that, I think I will pass it on to Stephen. Thank you very much again.
Thanks, Scott. Hi, everybody. My name is Stephen Phan, born and raised here in Portland. My parents immigrated here from Vietnam in the 80s with the Boat People. We are tried and true Portlanders, very patriotic for our country, love our city. I joined and I applied for the commission in order to essentially, like everybody else has said, enact change. I want to be here to help be a part of the change for our city, our future. I'm super stoked to have everybody else on the commission with us here. This is such a great group of people, and the more I read about you, the more I stalk you on LinkedIn, the more excited I am. It's been a really fun few weeks. Julia, thank you for all your hard work in doing all this and getting us all herded together like a bunch of cats. I don't envy it. But I'm looking forward to working with Mayor Wheeler, the commissioners, and the Charter Commission here to help enact change that'll be, like Scott said, for the future, not just for us right now. Thank you. And Vadim, you're up next.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and City Commissioners. My name is Vadim Mazursky, and I want to first thank you for appointing this slate of individuals to the Charter Commission. Portland's a vibrant and increasingly diverse city, and the people before you today embody that spirit of optimism and inclusion that will be the future of our city. Having read through the individual bios, listened to the statements today, and knowing some of the appointees personally, I am honored and humbled to be a part of the Charter Commission. Over the years, many groups have weighed in on proposed reforms to the city charter, and more recently, the City Club has researched the topic in depth. But I know I have much to learn, both from the individuals in the Portland community that seek to improve the ways in which they are governed, as well as from the broad experience of my fellow commissioners. It is with that sense of humility that I promise to keep an open mind, to listen intently with purpose to all viewpoints, and to do my best to work with fellow commissioners to represent the will of the Portland community that's welcomed me and that I've grown to love so much. I look forward to working with all of you, and I turn this over to Yasmin.
Good afternoon. My name is Yasmin Ibarra, and I use she, her pronouns. I currently live in the beautiful neighborhood of Woodlawn in Northeast Portland. And for me, community and political organizing has been the epicenter of my professional career and has really provided me with invaluable experiences that have shaped I view and navigate the world. And I really look forward to collaborating with the folks who've spoken before me, and I look forward to the progress that we hope to achieve through this process. And I'm just ready to roll up my sleeves and get to work. And I pass it.
Hello, everyone. My name is Amira Streeter. I'm so thrilled to be a part of this historic group. I'm from Maryland and have lived overseas, but am now proud to call myself a Portlander for 10 years. I'm really looking forward to using my experience in community engagement, law, policy, budget, and government systems to analyze the charter so it can adequately reflect the core values of the city of Portland. What excites me the most about this opportunity is the ability to serve the city in an impactful way that serves my community and future generations. We are truly at a pivotal moment in history, and I'm so honored to be a commissioner. Thank you to the commissioners and Mayor Wheeler for pulling this amazing group of people together. I'm super excited to be involved with the city in a different capacity this time. And with that, I will turn it back to Julia. Thank you.
Thank you all so much. So I'm just going to introduce the one nominee who wasn't able to join us. So this is Robin Yee. I won't read his bio, it's available, but I'd like to read, if I could, his statement of why he wants to serve. So he says, the Charter Review Commission is a direct opportunity for an engaged, richly diverse, and accurately representative group of Portland community members to shape their city and the values within its charter. I believe its greatest strength is that it is an independent body with ample time to consider reforms, more insulated from the short-term whims of politicians. So with that, I really just want to thank the nominees, not just for your time today, but for your willingness to serve. I know it's a big commitment, and I want to thank the mayor and the commissioners for giving us the time today to let folks introduce themselves in their own words, and also for the real collaborative approach to the selection process that you used. So thank you.
Thank you, Julie. And before we move to public testimony, colleagues, any questions at this point? Seeing none, Keelan, do we have any public testimony on this resolution?
No one signed up, Mayor.
Very good. Colleagues, last call before we call the roll. Keelan, please call the roll.
Hugh Daly.
Well, as luck would have it, my remarks are missing. So I feel a little underprepared for this auspicious occasion. So I will just say thank you to all of you for being willing to step up and serve the city. It is an honor to be chosen for the commission, but it is also going to be some really hard, grueling work. So I'm always impressed when people are willing to volunteer their time and expertise to helping us make our city the best that it can be. And we vote on this, right?
Correct, yes, resolution.
Thank you, everyone. I will be watching with great interest. I vote aye.
Fritz.
Thank you, everyone, for being willing to serve and for rising to the top of a very strong pool of candidates. It's delightful to look at you all on the Zoom vision and just see the beauty and glory of Portland reflected. And I know that you will do a good job as Commissioner. You daily said it will be hard, and there will be things that you will be asked to do that are perhaps less, I don't know what the right word is, exciting or compelling than the form of government, although the details in that decision are going to be really important. But that's what I wanted to say. The details in the charter really matter, and every word really matters. And when we were doing the ballot measure changes for the Bull Run watershed and for the mutual aid agreements in the Water Bureau, and it took a lot of listening to people and taking their input and really seriously considering, would this make the proposal better? You have you may have a basic concept for what you want to do, and still you're going to also be asked to do to pay attention to things that can be fixed. And indeed, there is, I believe, some so-called low-hanging fruit. There are some things that, you know, would be easy to take care of, and I hope that you will do those things as well as really digging into the more challenging ones. Again, thank you, each one of you, for being willing to serve, and I look forward to seeing what you come up with. Aye.
Ryan.
Good afternoon. It's really inspiring to see all of you. Some of you I know, and yet I learned something about you just now. And some of you I don't know, but I've been reading about you. And I want to start off by acknowledging Julia Meyer, who just stepped right in and masterfully coordinated a process. I know in my office, Gwen Thompson allowed me to really be staffed appropriately. Because if you know anything about me, I really care the most about who's at the table. Composites matter so much to me. And I really think this is the most important thing City Council can do, was to give this a lot of attention. And after listening to all of you, we nailed it. We have taken the word diversity and inclusion and equity to another level. And that's what's good. And what's even better is that you're gonna have so many creative tension moments. And like Deborah Porta, mentioned, it's not going to be easy. And I just really ask all of you to not be hung up on being right, but to just be patient. Just know that you're going to get worked. You're going to get upset. You're going to be angry. You're going to really despise some of you now and then. And that's okay. Like, that's part of the work. It's supposed to be passionate. This is a big deal. It's been a century or more. I know when I was running for office with a lot of other people, we all focused on the charter review and the desperate need for change. So let's really rise to the occasion and stay in the room. Just keep your creative conflicts in the room, your ability to be respectful and to respect what others have to say, even if it's not exactly how you would say it. And I think I just want to end with the best products come when not one person gets their way, but when the collective body comes up with something that one person never, ever on their own could have seen possible. So because I believe in that process and that journey, I will be watching. I will be so excited to listen to what you come up with. And I also want to remind us of the difference between the word engagement and inclusion. So no drive-by engagement, really take it in, really include those voices, especially those that you don't usually hang out with. We live in an echo chamber, social media society, and it's not doing us a lot of good. So this is really going to be a golden opportunity for Portland to show its best side. With lots of passion and excitement, I say aye.
Marty.
You are an impressive group of 20 people. Let me just start there. Let me also start by saying, Julie Myers, you exceeded my expectations significantly. Let me also thank my colleagues, because this was in fact a collective effort to ensure that this would be the most diverse, fully funded charter review commission that the city of Portland has ever had. We started this conversation with that intent in mind. And again, it has totally exceeded my wildest hopes and dreams and expectations. I wanna also ask you to consider some framing as you can start having conversations in January. I want to remind you that on January 2nd, 2021, Portland City Council will be the most diverse it has ever been in the history of the city of Portland. And so I would encourage you to not come into this process assuming that you are doing something to create opportunities for people of color, for women, or for all the people who have not had a voice in City Hall. There have been a couple of changes that has made the diversity possible. And one of the biggest ones was putting limits on the amount of money that people can spend in campaigns. I also want you to reflect and name one major city with a city manager that is equitable, fair, and where people of color aren't killed by the police. I can't find one. And so maybe you know one. I think there are a lot of people that have an assumption about what you will do over the next 2 years. And I want you to know it doesn't matter what other people think you should do. You are an independently elected body to review our charter and consult with the people of the city of Portland. It is a huge responsibility, but I also believe it's a huge honor. You get to remind yourselves at each meeting who's not at the table and what do we do to make sure they're at the table next time. You get to challenge assumptions about who you are, what you represent, and what equity looks like. You get to take your time because you have 2 years to do the work that is required of you, regardless of other people's expectations. You also have the opportunity to be inquisitive, to really deeply ask questions and challenge assumptions. I want to encourage you to be open-minded. Some of the very best ideas I have ever heard have been from houseless people with very limited resources, but big ideas about what's possible in the city of Portland. I want to thank you because you are investing time, energy, and passion into making the city of Portland a better place for us all. And I am dependent on you to do your due diligence to ensure that what the voters receive from you is the best reflection of the best of what Portland is and will be in the future. I am honored to vote aye.
Wheeler.
Well, first of all, again, thank you all for your willingness to serve. You rose to the top of a very competitive process, and I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for the dedication and the work that you're going to put into this. And I'm actually really excited to see what you bring back after your process concludes. I also want to speak briefly to the 280-ish people who did not get selected, but who wanted to be selected. Please understand that this is not the end of the line. There will be many opportunities for everybody who has an interest in this city, in the charter, to be engaged. And we'll make sure that we do our level best to get the word out about how people can engage. We, as a council, worked collaboratively on this process. We agreed right up front that we wanted this charter review process to be fundamentally different from previous efforts. We wanted to make sure that the members of the commission reflected accurately the diversity of the city and the different perspectives that exist in this city. We wanted to make sure that the Charter Review Commission had the tools and the training and the resources that are necessary in order to be successful in those efforts. And as the council offices worked together collaboratively to put together this panel, we thought very intentionally about how people could work together and how different perspectives could come together on this council or on this commission in a very, very thoughtful and innovative way. Julia, thank you. You have been fantastic since day one. I think your hardest days are actually still ahead, but based on your past performance, I have a lot of confidence in your future performance as well. So thank you for that. I want to thank Asena Lawrence from my office for doing the hard work on the part of the mayor's team in terms of helping us make our selections and working with the other commissioners' offices to make sure that we got a good, reflective, thoughtful panel, which I believe we have done. And the last thing I will say is that this is really an incredible opportunity. And I'm mindful of the comments that all of my colleagues have made. This is really one of those rare opportunities that you get to step back, you get to engage with the public, get to consider different perspectives, and ultimately you get to make some fundamental decisions about the long-term future of this city. And so that's a really exciting place to start from. I'm 100% enthusiastic about this panel. Please don't hesitate to reach out to me or any member of the mayor's staff if there's more that we can do to help you all be successful in this effort. I'm sure you'll have questions and there'll be stumbling blocks here and there along the way. Our job as a council and my job as the mayor is to support you and make sure that this process comes to a successful conclusion the way you want it to come to a conclusion. So with that, let me just say I'm thrilled to support all of you. I vote aye. The resolution is adopted and the appointments are approved. Thank you for your service to all of the people of Portland. We really appreciate it. And colleagues, without objection, Commissioner Fritz had asked if we could move, her items are next, but she had asked if we could move item 949 up into the next slot. She has some people prepared to testify, and so without objection, we'll move 949 into the next slot.
949, adopt revised Title 21 water to be consistent with current Portland Water Bureau practices and applicable State of Oregon regulations.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, colleagues. The Water Bureau has invested 2 years in a comprehensive process to revise Portland City Code Title 21, which guides the Bureau's work and operations. During this review process, sections of code were updated to align with current work and operational needs. The process also provided opportunities for addressing current challenges and exploring solutions for the benefit of Portland water customers. You will recall that I brought parts of the code dealing with water meters to you in a work session last month, and we amended the ordinance before you in response to your feedback. There are also changes made to incorporate the changes to the charter approved by voters in last year's election, particularly regarding protections for the Bull Run watershed closure area. Many other sections that could be classified as housekeeping updates were also reviewed, updated, and converted to plain language to be more accessible to readers. Although the commissioner usually thanks staff at the end of the presentation, the work involved in this update is so significant, I'm going to acknowledge the leaders of this project up front as well as at the end. They include Edward Campbell and Janet Senior for the Bull Run, Sarah Santner for individual meters, and Eric Pacheco for his advice on equity issues throughout the rewrite. Our technical writer, Lisa Vino, was also instrumental in the accessibility of the code language. Chief Engineer Teresa Elliott provided overall management and outstanding leadership, supported by previous director Mike Strohr and current director Gabriel Solmer. I'm also grateful to multiple community members for their input, particularly Regna Merritt for her leadership on Bull Run preservation. We've invited Regna to present along with staff and have other invited testimony later. Director Solmer will now briefly walk you through the changes.
Thank you so much, Commissioner. That is a hard act to follow. That was a beautiful screen that I just had. So thank you for even half of your attention to this next topic. I don't know that it is as uplifting, but it's pretty exciting to us. So thank you. And good afternoon. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler, commissioners. My name is Gabe Solmer. I am the Portland Water Bureau Director. And Keelan, if you could start the presentation, we just have a few slides. Thank you. So as, and you can move to the next slide. So as Commissioner Fritz introduced, the proposed code update is the culmination of 2 years of review, including by the commissioner, by the public, the Portland Utility Board, the city attorney, the city auditor, and many other bureaus. We had an extensive public process where we shared a first draft of all of the Title I changes for public comment in July and August. The discussions that have resulted from the comment period have been thoughtful, collaborative, and solution-oriented, and I don't often get to say that, so I am very pleased with that process. I want to say thank you to all of my colleagues at the other bureaus, to PUB, to the home builders, to Advocates for Protection of Bull Run, who took the time to review this code. And I will just say that we've learned a lot through this process of how to do this better, and we want to continue to improve. So I thank you all for being on this learning journey with me and with us, with all of us. One thing we learned is that Title 21 is long, complicated, and out of date. And so with a work session last month, you got a look into one portion of the code, the separate metering, but we actually revamped the entire code, doing housekeeping that, while it doesn't sound glamorous, was really integral to providing clarity and accessibility for everyone who interacts with our code. And that accessibility is core to our equity plan and to our mission. Next slide. So I'm not going to go through all of these updates, don't worry, but I did just want to highlight a few. You remember, of course, the conversation about individual meters that we had last month. I also want to highlight, as Commissioner Fritz pointed out, that we've made some changes around the requirements that voters passed last year for bull run protections and mutual aid provisions in the charter to include those in this code. And I'll move to the next slide. So the first one I wanted to just go into a little bit of depth with is the Bull Run Watershed Protections. And again, I wanted to thank Regna Merritt and Micah Mescal, who volunteered their time to make this section even stronger, and particularly with helping us establish and think through what a new project impact and mitigation process would look like, and the public comment process, which will be fleshed out through administrative rules. And I do know that we have a speaker on this topic who has limited time today. So if I can ask counsel's indulgence in hearing her testimony now, I will pick up the rest of the presentation after she speaks. And that speaker is Regna Merritt, if she's available.
Yeah.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, loud and clear.
Okay, great. Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners Hardesty, Udaly, and Ryan. And thank you so much for this invitation to speak, Commissioner Fritz. My name is Regna Merritt, and I serve on the Advisory Board for Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility, and today I am testifying on behalf of PSR. And please know that PSR will be happy to meet with new and incoming commissioners to share context and provide history of the long efforts to protect and defend Bull Run, source of our precious drinking water. Can you see me, or does everyone see the, can you see me?
Yeah, we can see the presentation and we can see you on smaller okay. screen. Yes, yeah, so you're
because
good.
Because I cannot see myself, so I just let me know if I'm out of the screen or something.
No, we can see you and we can see the presentation as well.
Okay, thank you. You likely remember that hard-fought gains for federal forests in the Bull Run. Those gains, those struggles were initiated by the community and then supported by the city. Those gains were established through federal legislation in 1996 and in 2001. And one of the next big city Bull Run projects was the long, long process of engaging in the land exchange process with the Forest Service. We were not fans of that land exchange. While it streamlined process and permits and saves the city money, we were concerned about the loss of federal protections and the application of federal laws like the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA. And Amanda heard us. The land exchange was completed last year with nearly 3,000 acres of our crown jewel forest leaving federal protection and coming into city ownership. And when you consider that future activities in the Bull Run could range from, and mind you, none of these activities are proposed now, but they could range from construction of a third dam in the Bull Run to a system of fire breaks crisscrossing the watershed or huge new road projects, clear cutting old growth. There's a wide range of activities that could occur there. So you can understand the challenge that we faced. How do we guarantee legal protections for those lands that the city acquired from the Forest Service? The service has such a long established and respected procedures for formal objections, appeals, and litigation, even in federal court. So PSR worked for months along with Micah Meskel and Bob from Audubon, Doug Heiken from Oregon Wild, attorney Carl Anuta, Ralph Bloomers at Craig, and Sharon Dave Corcoran to face this challenge. Our goal was to secure consistent protection standards regarding human entry, tree cutting, salvage, riparian protections, construction restrictions, and more, and to mirror the NEPA protections, including public notice, disclosure of impacts, including direct, indirect, and cumulative impacts, consideration of alternatives, and the ability to appeal bad decisions, those that threaten the integrity, the beauty, and the function of the Bull Run. And while it's impossible to completely mirror those protections, we've made good progress and are here today to support the proposed changes in the Bull Run Title 21. We have the opportunity to further define and clarify some key protections elements through the development of administrative rules next year. And those rules will come to the council for a vote before being adopted no later than December 31st of next year. So we are very grateful to Edward Campbell and Janet Senior and others who worked with us on this process. It would have been tricky enough during regular times with the pandemic, city furloughs, et cetera. It was really quite a challenge. And we thank you, Edward and Janet, for your time and attention. We also want to honor the countless numbers of people who have advocated for Bull Run protection over decades. And you know that you are in our hearts and will be in our hearts as we move forward with this process. Finally, thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for your years of dedicated service to the city and to the protection of Bull Run. You've made a huge difference, and we look forward to working with you next year in this important process. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Regna. I appreciate your commentary and for being here today. I will move on to the next section, so we can go to the next slide. And this should look familiar to you. So you are familiar with one key update to Title 21, the separate meter section. As you know, the old language was complicated and it had requirements that weren't enforced or even very well understood. And the outdated rules also made separate metering unaffordable for properties that did want to install multiple meters. At our work session in October, we heard from council that while there was support for water efficiency and tenant control, council was not ready to require separate meters for new multifamily developments. Not ready for prime time, we heard you loud and clear. So we took that feedback and we revised the Title 21 language to continue to allow, but not require, the separate meters for new multifamily developments. And I would just like to say, I'm really thankful that this council took the time to delve into what could be seen as a technical or wonky piece of code to really understand how this could impact tenants and home ownership and affordability and equity. And I'm very thankful to all of the speakers who came to the work session to share how this sort of obscure piece of code could really impact them. We think that this is a good solution that will allow a more understandable and affordable process while we focus on answering all those good questions that you raised for us. And I think that's it. Next slide. So I'll end here, but I just wanted to take a moment, because we don't always do this, to recognize the Water Bureau staff that contributed to this code update. And I think it's really important to recognize staff, many of whom are on this call today, for their crucial work that they've done to make the title more transparent, consistent, and in line with our core values. Updating code isn't always glamorous work, maybe never glamorous work, but it is essential that it's done regularly and well, and you have all contributed to that. And I just wanted to say a special thank you to Commissioner Fritz and Astrid Jagoy and her office. You both have been our guiding lights on this project, pushing the Bureau to break out of ways that we've always done things and holding us to account. I'd say the whole council has done this, to hold us to account, to explain our changes and to keep our focus quite correctly on the community that we serve. So with that, I would be happy to answer any questions or move to public comment.
Very good. Colleagues, any questions at this particular juncture? I am not seeing anybody raising their hand at this point. Does that complete your presentation?
It does. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, very good. Keelan, do we have any public testimony on this item?
Yes, we have two people signed up.
Very good. 3 minutes each. Name for the record, please.
Ezra Hammer.
Good afternoon, Honorable Mayor, Honorable City Council members. Ezra Hammer with the Home Builders Association of Metropolitan Portland. It's a pleasure to be back in front of you this afternoon. And I want to give my sincere thanks to Gabe and to Sarah and to Aaron and to her entire team for their sustained and thorough engagement with the residential development community on the proposed updates to Title 21. We believe that the current proposal as drafted is a fair and equitable solution. And importantly, when coupled with the system development charge methodology updates that are envisioned as part of 2021, will provide a significant cost savings for those who wish to develop and provide separate water meters. I can tell you anecdotally that I've spoken with a number of my members, and they are looking forward to implementing this practice once that SCC methodology has been updated mid-2021. So I think this has been a really helpful process to go through. Again, big thanks to Gabe and her entire team for their sustained engagement. And I believe the outcome will be a real positive for the city. Thank you again, and have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you. Next individual, please.
Next up, we have Bruce Nelson.
Hey, Bruce.
It looks like Bruce may have dropped off. He may be having connection issues.
Am I here?
Yep, you're here, Bruce. We hear you.
Hi, my name is Bruce Nelson. I'm a member of the Urban Forestry Commission, and I'm speaking to you on behalf of them. The Urban Forestry Commission urges the Portland Water Bureau, as part of its Title I review and amendments, to adhere to the current street tree planting standards specified in Title 11. Portland's Comprehensive Plan 2035, the Climate Action Plan, and the Climate Preparation Strategy call for 1, preserving Portland's tree canopy, and 2, for more equitable distribution of tree canopy in recognition of tremendous disparities in tree canopy across the city. Tree canopy is deficient on private property in more densely developed areas, particularly in low-income areas that have a greater proportion of residents who are Black, Indigenous, and people of color. In more densely developed areas, more of the tree canopy necessarily must be provided by street trees. Comprehensive Plan 2035 specifically recognizes streets and the right-of-way as public spaces that include, among other attributes, tree canopy. We recognize that there are many demands put on the use of this limited right-of-way space. While options such as easement exist for placement of water meters, the same can't be said for street trees in close proximity to new residences and other multi-use buildings. The City Council has received testimony from developers who were concerned about they could not maintain trees because of demands of the city. And part of that would be the conundrum of water meter placement. Property owners in new developments, we think, should be encouraged to place water meters on their private property, not in the right-of-way public spaces, as a means to conserve precious space for street trees. Language in the code that specifically allows placement of water meters outside of the right-of-way is requested. We also believe that the Water Bureau should explore other options for placement of water meters in order to take them completely out of the right-of-way space where trees could be planted. Both electricity meters and gas meters within Portland are commonly located on private property. It takes many small steps to improve our urban canopy. This is one. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce.
That's all who signed up, Mayor.
Very good, colleagues. Any further thoughts, questions before we move this? Very good. This is a first reading. It moves to second reading. Now we'll go back to the beginning of the regular agenda with item 943. Please, Keelan.
Amend price agreements with Allen Construction Management Services, LLC, CMTS, LLC, VRW, LLC, and XL Tech Consulting, Inc. for on-call construction management, inspection, and project support personnel services in the combined amount of $10,150,000.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. And colleagues, it wasn't my choice to put all of my stuff on in the afternoon today, so I apologize for just having one after another. The Bureau of Environmental Services is requesting to amend existing price agreements with four temporary staffing contract firms that primarily support capital improvement projects. BES uses these on-call services to meet peak workloads for about 400 capital projects, keeping projects on schedule and helping to avoid costly delays. The amendments will help BES meet the needs of a growing capital improvement program and enhance workforce diversity and recruitment as BES upgrades the city's sewer, stormwater, and treatment infrastructure to protect public health and the environment. Here today with a brief presentation are Joe Dvorak and Jocelyn Tenard, both from the Bureau of Environmental Services.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner. Good morning, Mayor and members of Council. For the record, Joe Dvorak with BES. Keelan, could you please bring up presentation for 943? Great. So as mentioned, this ordinance will allow us to amend existing temporary staffing contracts. Next slide, please. So these contracts support design and construction of capital projects by allowing us to hire engineers, technicians, and inspectors. They support staffing across 400 active CIP projects. Some of this work is seasonal, so there are peaks and valleys, and these contracts allow us to meet personnel requirements during those peaks, as well as non-CIP work. As mentioned, it also allows us to support equity and diversity and workforce, and Jocelyn will have a little bit more details on some of these bullets. Next slide, please. These contracts will help deliver our CIP, especially as we ramp up to the peak you showed, or that we show here in this slide. And then as this trend continues up after that peak, these contracts will help us meet the needs of our aging infrastructure. Next slide. And now I'll turn it over to Jocelyn, who has more details. Jocelyn.
Thanks, Joe. Good afternoon, council members. My name is Jocelyn Tenard. I'm the contract manager for the Corps. Contracts we have in the Bureau of Environmental Services Engineering Services Group. We've brought this amendment to add value to our contracts to Council for consideration today, primarily because the original legislation approved by Council, along with the request for proposal and contract values, were based on past rates paid to firms, historic utilization of our contract services, and workload projections. There's been significant market inflation in the cost of construction-related personnel services since the start of our four contracts, and we're expecting more utilization. As Joe explained previously, our capital improvement program work is increasing. We've had limited full-time equivalent positions, these are permanent city positions, approved through the annual budget process since the start of these contracts, which has resulted in them being utilized more than initially anticipated. We work closely with our temporary staffing contract firms to improve our equity efforts and help develop our temporary workforce. Our firm's recruitment and outreach practices involve participating in minority trades associations, minority group memberships, and career fairs, referrals from current and past employees who identify with underrepresented groups, social media, a dedicated talent acquisition lead to assist in outreach efforts and talking to candidates on job sites. We have past experience conducting an apprenticeship program with CMTS, who's one of our firms we're currently working with, under another contract, which resulted in the Bureau hiring a woman of color as supervisor of our construction inspection team. The program created, recruited, trained, and provided on-the-job work experience to minority and women candidates so they could take advantage of work experience opportunities on our projects. If our request to amend our price agreements is approved, we would like to work on a new apprenticeship program. Next slide, please. We're requesting to amend existing contracts we currently have with Allen Construction Management, ACMS, CMTS, DRW, and XL Tech Consulting for on-call services for a combined increase of $10,150,000 from the original $25 million approved by Council over the next 2.5 years. All four firms are COBID certified, or DMW ESB firms, which I'll define on the next slide. Now halfway through the third year, additional contract value is needed to allow more utilization of temporary personnel services than was originally planned when established in 2017. This is to support current and increasing capital project workloads and address uncertainty around future planned requests for new permanent city positions. There will be no impact to budget because the budget is already in the adopted CIP under individual project budgets, which include design and construction costs and assumes costs that include a mix of city staff, contractors, and consultants. These contracts primarily support CIP project workloads and provide positions such as construction managers and inspectors, technicians, and administrative staff. Next slide, please.
Jocelyn, before you move on, Commissioner Hardesty, I think, has a question about that one.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Mayor, I am taking Jocelyn on her word that she's going to answer the question that was in my head in this slide that's up now.
All righty, sounds good.
Okay. The next three slides give the diversity breakdown of our COBID certified DMW ESB firms. I wanted to be sure to define these acronyms to make sure everyone listening understands. COBID is a state of Oregon office that certifies DMW ESB businesses interested in contracting with state, county, and city local agencies. The state of Oregon, primarily their goal is of COBID certification is to level the playing field by providing certified firms a fair opportunity to compete for government contracts regardless of the owner, ethnicity, gender, disability, or firm size. Any further questions? I'm just pausing.
Yes, so were you going to break that down more? So $10 million went to these firms, but how many went to minority-owned firms, women-owned firms? How is this different than our normal contracting process?
Okay, thank you. The next slide, please, starts to break down the data. I'll pause at the end in case there's additional questions. This table shows by firm the total amended contract values we're requesting broken down by DMW ESB certification with the total amended contract value shown at the bottom. To clarify, people identified as Asian Indian would be from either the subcontinent of India, Southeast Asia, or the Far East. Next slide, please. And this table aggregates the data slightly differently to show the percentages of male-owned and female-owned firms and to show BIPOC ownership. And I'll pause for a moment. If there's additional questions, we can go back. I just wanted to show both of those slides.
Mayor, if I may.
Yeah, go for it.
Thank you. Thank you, Jocelyn. So out of the $35 million total, this is an amended contract value. Please explain to me what that means.
So we are asking to add the $10,150,000 onto what was originally approved, which was $25 million. The amendment is to add that additional value.
So I guess I'm curious as to, so we're hiring people as temporary employees for a project, but we're keeping them for 5 years as a temporary employee?
Not all cases. If there are vacancies available within the city, some do get hired on permanently. And then it all is based on our work needs. So if we keep them as long as we need them, we try to keep them as long as possible because we train them and go through a lot of effort with that. But in many cases, which I have some additional information further on in my presentation, some do get hired on permanently with the city. And then the 5 years really is based on our work needs. We have, as Joe had mentioned, the ramping up of our CIP work is, this is to ensure that we have sufficient staff to cover those peak higher work needs that we have.
And so I have one last question before I let you move on. And that question is, so when you're counting the diversity of your workforce, are you making sure that there's a different counting for temporary employees versus permanent employees, or are we just all combining that as one one reporting system?
Currently, my role as contract manager is just to work and focus on the contract employees. So I am not including the permanent employees as far as the percentages and numbers in the next slide where I'm looking at contract staff. We do have equity managers in the Bureau that do look at the Bureau, our full-time positions, our permanent positions. So I am focused on the contract employees only.
I appreciate that. Wanted to make sure that those were actually reflected separately. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Good questions. Okay. We'll move to the next slide, please. Thank you. This pie chart is showing the percent of temporary contract staff that are BIPOC and white, and that we've had since the start of our contracts, which was July 1st, 2018. This includes a total of 57 staff. Since July 1st, 2018, 35% of our staff have been female and 65% have been male. 13 of the 57 contract employees have been hired into permanent positions in the city of Portland. 6 were female and 7 were male. As I mentioned earlier, our firms make considerable efforts to find staff to support our work needs, and they also work with us to provide career opportunities. Some examples of those efforts include our firms give priority to providing us with women and minority candidates as much as possible. This is balanced with the time frame of when we need each candidate and the candidate pool they have available at the time of our request. Developing a program that involves the firm providing financial support to train their employees who may have minimal experience in the areas of work we need. A program developed by one of our firms has helped increase employee skills, which has resulted in promotions and increased pay. When contract staff have been laid off due to work slowing down, one of our firms was able to find other work for them to do until our workloads picked up again. This allows staff we've trained to return to work quickly when needed. Because of these efforts,
You don't have any African American on your staff? Or as your contract staff, am I reading this accurately?
No, we do. We have, I believe it's 2 as far as the number. And I think it is the orange, which is 10%.
I thought that was Native American. Red is black and there's no percentage under black.
Yeah, it's the 10%. Is black. The colors may be hard to see. I apologize for that.
Okay, thank you.
Native American is the 2%, which is the yellow, more yellow color.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. To continue, the last comment I would make is that both of these efforts have resulted in contract employees getting permanent positions with the City of Portland, which is good. And if no other questions, I'll move on to the next slide. Thank you. These 4 contracts are consistent with the scope and utilization of contracts we've had in the past, and the staff we hire help support our workloads for project delivery and keep us on schedule, avoiding costly delays. We plan to continue working with our firms and also working internally with our Bureau's equity and staffing contract teams on enhancing workforce development, diversity, and recruitment efforts. Approval of the amendments to add additional value will allow us to keep the 30 contract staff we currently have working with us and hire additional staff to meet our projected work needs. We will be working with the procurement group to support their efforts to establish citywide staffing contracts within the next year or so. And we've invited Scott Schneider with Procurement's Goods and Services Work Group to join us today in case council members have any questions related to that effort. And last slide, please. And thank you for the opportunity to present today. We're happy to answer any additional questions.
Very good, colleagues. Any further questions? All right, it looks like that was a very thorough presentation. Thank you for that. Keelan, do we have anybody signed up for public testimony on this item?
No one signed up, Mayor.
All right, very good. This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Thank you very much for an excellent presentation. The next item on the regular agenda is item 944.
Authorize a competitive solicitation and contract with the lowest responsible bidder and provide payment for construction of the Carolina Trunk W-02 rehabilitation project number E11005 for an estimated cost of $1,283,000.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. Environmental Services has a need to rehabilitate about 1,000 feet of sewer pipes in southwest Portland in the Burlingame area. These aging and deteriorating pipes are over 100 years old, and repair is needed to protect public health and the environment. The project is slated to take place between May and October of next year. Here today with a brief presentation are Joe Dvorak, again, as the engineering manager, and Yang Zhang, project manager, both from Environmental Services.
Great, thank you, Commissioner. Hello again, Mayor and members of Council. For the record, Joe Dvorak, Bureau of Environmental Services. Keelan, would you mind putting up the PowerPoint for 944? There we go, thank you. So we have a very short presentation today. I'll just begin by saying that this project is in our large scale sewer rehabilitation program. We're particularly excited about this one because we're gonna use the technology that's been used elsewhere in the world, but for the first time here in Portland. So really, really excited about that. So I'm gonna turn it over to Young, the project manager, who just has a couple of slides. Thanks.
Thank you, Joe, and good afternoon, and commissioners. And for the record, I'm Yang Zhang with the Bob Environmental Services. I'm here to present our trunk rehabilitation project. Next slide, please. So I will provide a brief overview of the project. Carolina Trunk Project is one of the large sewer trunk rehab projects in the city. And this project is to repair and deteriorated Carolina Trunk in Southwest Portland in the Burlingame neighborhood. The project site is shown in the map at the right side of this page. Zone 2 of Carolina Trunk, including the two segments of the trunk line under the Southwest Macadam Avenue, so which is the old right-of-way. The scope of the project includes rehabilitation of about 760 feet of Carolina sewer trunk, and also 310 feet of the 20-inch sewer main connect to the trunk. So those pipes were installed around 1909, so they were both over 100 years old now. Next slide, please. So I would like to introduce the construction method to be used in the project. As Joe just mentioned it, spiral wound lining is selected for rehabilitating the 51-inch sewer trunk in the project. A QDS pipe called CIPP for the 20-inch sewer rehab. We all know that the CIPP is a common transition method, has been used in many sewer projects in the city. And compared with CIPP, so spiral wound lining is an innovative trenchless method. So it is typically used for large trunk rehabilitation. So this project will be the first project in the city to use this technology. So since the spiral wound lining is new to the city, so I will give a little bit more detail about this technology. So as shown in the figure at the right bottom of this page, So you will see the spring lining is installed inside of the pipe. The lining profile is interlocked by the winding machine inside of the pipe to form the liner against the pipe wall. So different from other technologies, and spur wound lining can install the liner with lab flow and can stop and restart if being interrupted. Additionally, so this technology is considered to provide seismic resiliency, so that is critical for the city to provide a reliable sewer service. Although this technology is new to the city of Portland, it has been used in many other cities in the United States, including Los Angeles and San Diego in West Coast. As I mentioned earlier, so this project site is in ODOT right-of-way. So due to the traffic control required by ODOT, it is anticipated that the most of the project construction will take place at night. So the project team has working with the Portland Noise Office notify public about the network and getting their feedback. Next slide, please. So project budget and the schedule. Estimated the construction cost for this project is about $1.283 million. And the confidence level of this estimate is high. Based on the current project schedule, so it is anticipated the project will be advertised in January 2021. So actually it's 2021. The construction will start in May 2021 and last 5 months and finish in October 2021. Next page. I think that's all of my presentation today, and thank you for these opportunities. So we're here for any questions.
Colleagues, any questions? I'm not seeing any. Keelan, do we have any testimony on this item?
No one signed up.
All right, very good. This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Item number 945, please.
Thank you.
Authorize a 3-year master intergovernmental agreement with Portland State University to partner on projects and programs related to wastewater, stormwater, and watershed health, not to exceed $500,000.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. The Bureau of Environmental Services and Portland State University have an ongoing relationship to support environmental services, wastewater, stormwater, and watershed health work. The existing agreement signed in 2013 has been used to execute over 30 projects that span multiple PSU departments. Examples include the Geography Department studying microplastics in Portland streams, Indigenous Studies interns that help implement the Community Watershed Stewardship Program, and the Engineering Department that helped evaluate new stormwater solutions. Environmental Services would benefit by continuing and expanding this partnership in fulfilling BES's mission and vision. Here today is Alice Brawley-Chesworth, analyst with Environmental Services.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, Mayor Wheeler, and the council. I'm glad to be here today. For the record, my name is Alice Brawley-Chesworth, and I'm with the Bureau of Environmental Services. BES and Portland State University have a strong, long-standing relationship that is highly beneficial to both organizations. For many years, PSU graduates have worked at BES, and BES employees have pursued educational opportunities at PSU, increasing their skills while continuing to work for the Bureau. In addition, we've collaborated on cutting-edge research that has helped BES advance our mission. In 2013, in order to shorten the time between when BES identified a need and bringing PSU personnel on board for green infrastructure and watershed health-related activities, we signed a master intergovernmental agreement that allows for completion of task orders. Since then, we've executed 35 task orders, accomplishing a wide range of work. Some of these activities include ones that Commissioner Fritz mentioned. There's also things such as an evaluation of modular wetlands, storm filters, and soil amendments for green streets, and creation of an updatable interactive eco roof map, among others. That earlier IGA has now run out of funds, and BES requests to execute an updated IGA to continue and grow this important partnership. The IGA before you today is for 3 years and up to $500,000 to be accomplished using task orders. Along with updating the language, this agreement differs from the previous one in that it opens up to the type of work that can be included to all elements of BES's mission, wastewater, stormwater, and watershed health. And it allows us to work on our strategic priorities, such as partnerships, resiliency, equity, and workforce development. I thank you for your time, and that's all I have for presentation, so I'd be happy to take any questions.
Very good, colleagues. Any questions at this point? I am not seeing any. Do we have any public testimony, Keelan?
No, no one signed up.
All right, very good. This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Next up is 946. Thank you, Alice.
Accept the five-year report on the $68 million 2014 Parks General Obligation Bond.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. I did mention that I didn't ask for all these bureaus nor for these items to be all on one afternoon. So again, hello. In 2014, the $68 million Parks Replacement Bond was passed with the support of 74% of voters, showing broad support for reinvestment in our city's parks and recreation facilities. I will give you a quick overview, then the amazing Robin Laughlin will present in more detail. With 46 of 52 bond projects now complete and $49 million spent at the end of June 2020, and also the remaining six projects underway, the bond program is on target to deliver on the promises made to voters in 2014. I am so pleased that Portlanders have been able to enjoy their investments in their parks over the years, particularly during the pandemic, as we have been able to return to playgrounds and parks while practicing physical distancing. We look forward to welcoming Portlanders again to our renovated pools and community centers in the future, thanks to the levy generously passed by voters last month. The investment in disadvantaged minority women, emerging small business, and service disabled veterans business enterprise firms in our community is laudable in this bond measure. With 42% of the value of all professional and construction contracts in the bond projects being awarded to these firms, well above the city's goal of 20% utilization. A breakdown of the bond project spending for the combined value of professional design and construction work shows that 19% of the value was awarded to minority-owned businesses, 17% to women-owned businesses, and 6% to emerging small businesses. Over the past 5 years, the bond program has focused on repair and replacement of most urgent asset needs in our park system. The repairs and asset replacement work made possible by the bond investments are making positive impacts throughout the city, but they are only a small amount of the major maintenance work that needs to be done in our park system. Portland Parks and Recreation estimates we have over $450 million in deferred maintenance over the next 10 years that needs to be addressed. We've made some progress with policies such as the capital set aside and allocation of ongoing general fund money for maintenance and Americans with Disabilities Act improvements, but more investment with new dollars is needed. Still, we did a lot of good things with the bond measure projects. Here to present is Robin Laughlin, Portland Parks and Recreation's Capital Renovation Program Manager.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. I will share my screen. So thank you. Hello, Mayor Wheeler, members of council. My name is Robin Laughlin. I use she, her pronouns, and I am the Capital Renovations Program Manager for Portland Parks and Recreation. I'm so happy to be here today to present the Year 5 report on the 2014 Parks Replacement Bond. In 2014, the Parks Replacement Bond provided up to $68 million in funds to make urgent repairs in parks, community centers, and park facilities throughout the city. Portland Park and Recreation's bond program has completed its fifth year, and it was a busy year as summarized in the Year 5 report I'll be presenting today. There's a lot of information in that report to share, and today I'll be focusing on three key points of the report: performance, opportunity, and accountability. I will also...
Hey, Robin, I'm sorry to interrupt. Are you supposed to be sharing something right at this moment? Are we, no?
You don't see my screen?
I see you, but are you sharing a presentation?
I am.
Can anybody else see the presentation or is it just me? No, Dan's shaking his head. It's not loaded in quite right. Let's see if we can get that loaded in.
Okay. I could see it when we practice.
Then you can describe it.
Oh, gosh.
It's a very impressive presentation, let me tell you.
I'm going to thank you for noting that. I will Let me get out of the slideshow.
Okay.
Start
over. Oh, there we go. It looks like it's going now. Hang on. Yep, there we are.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Okay, so wait. There you go. Good. You're good.
I don't know that we could do parks without showing you the beautiful work of my team. There's a lot of good shows here. So thank you so much. So this was our introductory slide. This was the slide we were just on. Again, I'll be sharing today the performance, opportunity, and accountability points of the annual report. And I will also be sharing the program's achievements that we've made in making park and facility improvements across the city. I need to move you. So as in past years, the bond program has remained consistent within the language of the measure, with project work focused on the 7 established themes of playground replacement repair, trails and bridges, schools, protecting workers, Pioneer Courthouse Square, accessibility, and restrooms and other urgent repairs. The $68 million investment is being made at parks all across the city. The map on your screen shows these investments, with the black symbols representing completed projects and the blue symbols indicating projects underway. Really nice to see that there's a lot of black symbols on that screen and just a few blue ones left. So as Commissioner Fritz mentioned, at this time, all 52 projects are complete or underway. And of those, 46 are complete and 6 are underway or in construction or in design. At the close of the reporting year, which ended in June of 2020, $49 million had been spent, and we are on our way and on track to meet the promises made in 2014. In the last fiscal year, the bond team completed 12 projects, bringing the total to 46. Of the 6 that are currently underway, 3 are on or ahead of schedule, and 3 are behind. Of those that are behind, projects at Delta Park, Urban Forestry, and Mount Tabor Yard were delayed at the land use and development permit phases, and the Creston Park project slowed down to accommodate issues that were raised during the public outreach process. Those issues have been addressed, and all 3 projects are now moving forward successfully. Moving on to budget, the bond program is on track to deliver all the promised projects within the available funding. Overall, the program is tracking an excellent on-budget completion with a few project overages, such as the Mount Tabor Yard and the Urban Forestry Yard at Delta Park, those staff facility projects. Those overages are being addressed in keeping with the financial policies of the program. If there are any remainder funds after completing all of the promised projects, we will be working with the Parks Commissioner, Director Long, and the Bond Oversight Committee to ensure that those funds are appropriately allocated and in keeping with the program's fiscal policies and the goals of the program. From the beginning, we had a long list of projects that were vetted with the community. However, we were only funded for a fraction of those projects. If we do have any remainder funds once all of our promised projects are completed, we will be looking to pull from that list to select final projects to accomplish those remainder funds. So in addition to tracking our project spending, we also monitor our administrative expenses. And we have good news here in that the cumulative spending on administrative expenses continues to remain low, with 4.5% of overall spending for the life of the bond, well below our 10% target. So now this is one of my favorite slides. Not only is the Bureau working hard to improve the park's infrastructure, the funding is also investing in our local community to ensure that disadvantaged, minority-owned, women-owned, emerging small businesses, and service-disabled veteran business enterprises, known as the DMWSB, SDVBE firms, have opportunities to design, bid on, and construct our bond projects. Our success rate is laudable to date. Since 2015, the bond projects have awarded 42% of the combined value of professional design services and construction work to these state-certified firms, well above the city's utilization goals of 20%. A further breakdown of that combined spending shows that that 19% of the value was awarded to minority-owned businesses, 14% to women-owned businesses, and 6% to emerging small businesses. Taken separately, 31% of all professional design services went to these firms, and 45% of the value of all construction dollars went to these firms. Together, these numbers total just over $44 million. Moving to the topic of accountability, audits were required as part of the bond measure to ensure fiscal accountability. To meet this obligation, Harvey M. Rose Associates was hired to perform to provide a performance audit at the midpoint of the delivery of the bond program. This work was completed in January of 2019. Another audit will be performed at the conclusion of the bond program work. The findings of that report confirmed that the funds are being spent in a manner that adheres to the language of the measure, the program is operating in a fiscally responsible manner, and the existing documentation systems are transparent, in place, and functioning well. The audit also included recommendations to further enhance the program's efficiencies, and the program has made progress in implementing those recommendations over the last year, primarily with a focus on process improvements related to contingency tracking and bond issuances. With the initial bond work, extensive outreach processes helped garner bond program support, thanks in particular to Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Fish. We really appreciate the past work that's been done over the years to get us to this point. Building on those efforts, the bond team over the last 5 years has engaged in public outreach tailored to each of the bond projects, as the numbers on the screen indicate. PPNR's work around community engagement continues to reflect our increasingly diverse community's needs and desires, including engagement with Latinx, Russian-speaking, Somali, and Vietnamese communities. Project-specific outreach has also been targeted to low-income and disability communities. The Bond Oversight Committee continues to provide guidance and wise counsel for the bond program. The current committee members are John F. Colon, Karen Looper-Tracy, Zari Santner, Ken Richardson, and Janice Mason. This group has offered many significant and helpful suggestions over the life of the bond program. As an example, the committee recommended that we establish a program contingency and use bond interest earnings to support the projects in the Protect Workers category. With this year's annual report on behalf of Portland Parks and Recreation complete, the Oversight Committee will be providing their independent review and giving you a report of their opinion of our work later this month. So all the bond projects bring quality revived services to our community, and I'd like now to share with you a few of those projects we completed in year five of the bond program. With an infusion of funds from the system development charges, Verdell Berdine Rutherford Park was completed this past spring, and this playground project includes a new Portland Loo, pathways connecting to nearby streets and neighborhoods, and irrigation system improvements. Playground innovations were also made at Glenhaven Park and Gilbert Primary Park, and additional play equipment and drainage investments were made at 30 parks across the city. Bond funded improvements at Peninsula Pool included modern mechanical systems and accessibility upgrades on the deck. An additional investment of SDC funds allowed a full renovation that increased the shallow area, allowing more new swimmers to access the pool. Improvements to four bridges were completed in year five of the bond, including two along the Springwater Corridor in East Portland. Two bridges in Southwest Portland replaced failed bridges in Marshall Park and the adjacent Foley Balmer Natural Area. The Parks Replacement Bond included accessibility as a focus area with projects in Washington Park, Mount Tabor Park, East Portland Community Center, and the Multnomah Art Center. Bond projects in other theme areas also removed existing barriers to access, with over 400 barriers removed in total so far. This work included targeted repairs to playgrounds, pathways, pools, and more. In the coming year, the remaining six bond projects are slated to be completed or enter construction. Now, in the last year, the COVID-19 pandemic really changed the way Portlanders interact with their parks and community centers. Yet through the crisis, bond work continued. And as the final bond projects move towards completion, we will continue to work closely with the local design and construction professionals to deliver the promises we made in 2014. We really look forward to the day we can come together again to celebrate the benefits the investment in the bond program has brought and continues to bring to our community. I'm happy to present with you via PDF the long form of the Year 5 Parks Replacement Bond Annual Report. This report will be available on the Parks website noted on your screen, and a short version will also be posted there and be available in Spanish and in English. So I'm happy to take any questions you may have. And if this is a good time, I will stop sharing my screen. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Excellent presentation. Lots of good news there, colleagues. Any questions or comments? If not, I will certainly entertain a motion to accept the report. Great report.
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay, Commissioner Fritz moves the report. Commissioner Hardesty seconds the report. Keelan, please call the roll.
Daly, Fritz.
Really great presentation, Robin, and just outstanding work on all of these projects. It's been a delight to watch you implement them and do such a good job on every single level. And I'm really pleased with the community engagement. There's been a whole host of different staff who've been involved in this effort. It's been an all hands on deck thing. Hang on a second, I might have a list of those people. I was doing so well with being prepared in having all of my talking points lined up. And now I can't find them. That's really annoying. Sorry, just indulge me, folks, because actually I don't have them. All right, so anyway, I know that Lauren McGuire and I should be able to remember everybody's name because I feel like we've gotten to know each other so well over the years. But Robin, if you could just convey to everybody how grateful I am. And I promise when we have the Bond Oversight Committee's report at the end of the year, I will have my thank yous lined up as well as my introductory talking points. I'm very, very happy to vote aye.
Ryan.
Yes, thank you, Robin. That was a great report. It was really refreshing to hear promises made in 2014 were kept. And I also really appreciated that you had criteria for if there are funds that remain and how those would be allocated and expended. And I'll, of course, going way over your goal for minority contractors was delightful to see at 42% instead of 20. Anyway, thank you for that report. Congratulations. And onward to the next one. Yeah. I vote aye.
Hardesty?
Well done, Robin. Thank you very much for the thorough information. I vote aye. I was going to ask the question, but we're beyond that. It's all good. I'll call you later. Thank you very much. I vote aye.
Wheeler?
Very good presentation. Thank you, Robin. The Parks Bureau continues to deliver on the promises of that bond, and I'm particularly appreciative of the intense effort that's gone into geographic representation across the city, as well as the focus on people of varying abilities, kids with varying abilities, to make sure that the parks are inclusive as we build them. And I also just want to acknowledge it wasn't highlighted too much here, but it was certainly implied, the close collaboration between the Parks Bureau and other bureaus, including, for example, the Housing Bureau, and making sure that our housing investments and our park investments go alongside each other. And I think Discovery Gateway is a great example of that kind of collaboration. And I want to thank you all for that. Happy to vote aye. The report is accepted. Thank you, Robin. And we'll move on to item number 947.
Authorize intergovernmental agreement not to exceed $4 million from the Portland Parks and Recreation System Development Charge Fund to the Prosper Portland Downtown Waterfront Tax Increment Financing District Fund for acquisition of property in the downtown waterfront urban renewal area.
Yes, and before I turn this over to Commissioner Fritz, I want to second what she said earlier. Actually, Commissioner Fritz, you helped us out tremendously by allowing us to move some of these items to today's agenda. So that's sort of just how the rock rolled on this. We really appreciate your flexibility on that. So to Commissioner Fritz on 947.
You're welcome, Matt. Thank you. It gave me almost time to get my act together. No, that's not the one I want. Sorry. Oh, come on. Very hard toggling back and forth. Here we go. Prosper Portland requested a short-term temporary loan to assist with acquisition financing for a property adjacent to Lansu Chinese Garden. Here today to provide a brief overview for the fund loan is Dylan Paul, Portland Parks and Recreation Bureau Property and Business Development Manager.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Fritz. I will, Robin's a hard act to follow, but I'll do my best to make a pretty straightforward loan agreement more exciting for all of you. Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. I am Dylan Paul. I use he, him pronouns. I am the Property and Business Development Manager for Parks and Recreation. With me here today to help answer any questions you all might have are the City Debt Manager, Matt Jirak, Parks SDC Manager, Sarah Huggins, and from Prosper Portland, Bernie Karowski and Carl Dinkelspiel. The purpose of our item today is to seek approval to authorize a temporary project loan to Prosper Portland from the Parks SDC Fund for the acquisition of the real property being referred to here as Block 24. City Attorney's Office and Parks Director have both approved the use of Parks SDC funds for this purpose and are supportive of this process here today. The loan is being requested to be made in an amount not to exceed $4 million for a term of 24 months, with the understanding that at the end of the term, the funds will be fully repaid with interest. Loan interest will accrue daily at the city's investment portfolio rate and will result in no lost revenue from the Parks SDC fund. The loan may not be written off, forgiven, or converted in any way beyond its original intent, as written in the Prosper Portland Parks Intergovernmental Agreement. And with that, we're here to answer any questions you might have. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Dylan. Folks, any comments or questions for Dylan? Is there any public testimony on this item, Keelan?
No one signed up.
All right, thanks, Dylan. This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Number 948 is our next one, and this is a second reading.
Assess benefited properties for park improvements in the Portland Open Space Sequence Local Improvement District.
Colleagues, we had a fantastic presentation on this previously, as well as public testimony. Is there any further discussion on this item? Please call the roll.
Fritz.
Aye.
Ryan.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Wheeler.
I was very impressed with the presentation on this. This is a great vision. I vote aye. And the ordinance is approved. And last but not least, 9:50. You know, it feels like it's really late because it seems like it's getting dark out. It's not even 4:00. This is actually an early afternoon as far as council goes for us, but boy, it just doesn't feel that way. 9:50, please, Keelan.
I thought that yesterday. I thought, oh my gosh, it must be 7:00.
Authorize the Portland Water Bureau to enter into an agreement with Dean and Patricia Walter and pay consideration in the amount of $55,000 for costs to construct a new well.
Colleagues, this is a second reading. We already heard the presentation on this and had opportunity for testimony and questions. Is there any further issues that anybody would like to raise here? Seeing none, Keelan, please call the roll.
Fritz.
Colleagues, thank you so much for your patience and interest and engagement this afternoon. We did a lot of good work. In fact, we have a lot of good work that's coming throughout December, and so I'm looking forward to continuing to do it. This one is a routine item that was pulled from consent, and I am happy to vote aye.
Ryan.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. And Keelan, I think that's it, right?
That's it.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it. We are adjourned.